because we're in Tafnan Avrochid base. And the continuation from last week is because that this is one of the few halachas that's really in Yerdei, not in Arachayim, just like last week. Okay, Kol HaKelim Tzorech L'Hagi Yisim Yidei Seim K'moisam. All the kelim, when you kash them, the Mechaber says you have to kasher the handles, not just the kli. I mean, even though the food doesn't go into the handle, the food only goes into the inside of the pot. You have to kasher the handles anyhow. And the Ramah says, Miu, Imlo Higiu HaYadus, if you didn't kasher the handles, Ein Leh So B'Dievet, you don't have to ask for the food B'Dievet. Afilu L'Chatchil Yochel HaGil Naideh Irui, even L'Chatchil that you're supposed to kasher it, the Ramah holds that you're allowed to kasher it with Irui, Shema'ar Aleh, and you do Irui Kribishin to it. Okay, so what's going on in this din over here? Okay, so there's two parts to the question as to whether you do or don't have to kasher the handle. Okay. The first is, does the handle become tray in the first place? Okay, and that depends on din in your day of chamitzas or chamkula, that the machoikis, whether you say chamitzas or chamkula, does bliya transfer from a hot kli to the edges, to the outer edges of the kli, that are far away, that are not where the Isser is, and there we pass in like both days of Shulchan Aruch, we pass in that you do not say Chamutzas Hacham Kulot. We make it, there's no Chamutzas Hacham Kulot. So the Magen Avraham over here says, so I don't understand, if we really pass in that there's no Chamutzas Hacham Kulot, so the whole din doesn't even start. If there's no bleas getting there in the first place into the handle, so what do we really have, like, nothing to start with? On which, we talked about this before, and the Kfeger asks on that, Magen Avraham, as do many others, that the machlokes of chamutzas chacham kuloi is in a case when the thing that's far away does not get hot. But if the thing that's far away gets hot also, that's not the case of chamutzas chacham kuloi. Chamutzas chacham kuloi says that even though it doesn't appear to be hot on the outer edges of the kli, we assume that the bleed transfers to there anyhow, to the parts of the kli that don't touch the food. But if the outer part of it gets hot, then of course everyone agrees that the bleed goes transfer over to there. And therefore, he says, so to the handles, which he's assuming are getting hot, in those days that's what it was, the handle would get hot also. So the handle, which is just an extension of the kli, would get hot, and of course, bleed would transfer to there. It's not totally in the machlokes of chamek tzasa chamkul. That's what Rekriya says. That's the first thing. So now, we're working with that assumption, we'll talk more about it in a second, but working with the assumption that the handle did become trade. Now, there's a second part to the shaila, which is, the handle became trade because the bleed spread from the pot out to the handle, to where it wasn't touching. So the shaila now is, if I kasher the pot, will that draw the bliya out of the handle also? Okay, the machaber holds no. The machaber holds that just kashering the pot.
No,
just kashering the pot is not going to get the bliya out of the handles. You have to kasher the handles by themselves. And the Rama holds that no, when you kasher the pot, you say kabol kach poter, just like the bliya went from the pot spread to the handles. The bleed can come out by kashering the pot, you can kasher the handles. Okay, now, the Rajla, who was a makar for this din, says, you should just know, if the bleed went into one part of the pot directly, you can't kasher, just do chamuk tussay to get the bleed out just by kasher. If the bleed went in on this side over here, you can't kasher this part and say, oh, I'm going to draw the bleed out from here. You have to kasher where the bleed went in. The shaila here is just because the bleed went in from the pot, spread to the handle, so maybe by kashering the pot, you could be kashering the handle also, just kabbalah kapota. Okay, so the machaber holds that doesn't work. You have to kasher each part of it separately, and the Ramah holds that you say kabbalah kapota, and therefore the Ramah holds that min hadin, you don't have to kasher the handle. Okay, min hadin, for this regular chash that the bleed comes in from the pot, you don't have to kasher the handle.
This is a good question. According to the machaber, if you have a display from it, it's 5 inches thick.
We're getting to that. Right, very good. I'm getting to that. Your mom's going to fool you guys. We're getting to that in a second. Okay, we're getting to that. That's the end. Okay, so now, you can't believe how much there is to talk about in your day. In your day, there's 7 halachas in Hilchos HaGolos Kelim, and there's almost no halachas there. This is like the big halacha. The Taz goes on pages and pages, and the shach behind him. There's lots and lots to talk about there. Okay, I want to mention one raya that's brought over there, which is like this. The Gemara says in Zvachim that if you, there's a din by kachim, that to pasuk, that after you put kachim into a kli, umorak v'shuta b'mayim, you have to rinse it out and maybe you have to kachim, whatever that pasuk means. You have to do something to the kli. So the Gemara says, if you put kachim into part of a kli, in b'chlin m'chashis b'shal, if it was at all cooked in a pot of the kachim were cooked in them, you have to do morik v'shuta to the whole kli. it's a special chumra for kachim that even if the kachim is only in part, you have to do the whole kli needs mariku shtifa. But the Gemara says if truma was put into a kli, not kachim, nothing does mariku shtifa. If it was only put into part of the kli, you don't have to kasha the whole kli. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, so the Ferish Gemara, you don't have to kasha the whole kli. So the Ra'a says, you see that let's say kabbal kafolta, that if the tray thing only gets into one part of the kli, you don't have to kasha the whole kli. It's mechara a Ferish Gemara. To which the Shach, which is the Rajba, and that who's arguing that Ra'a says, no, it's not true. It's a special din by truma, which is not going to get to us the truma part of it. He says, oh, by heter. But Heter Bala will say that the Bliya, since the Bliya went in from the Kli spread out, when you kasha the Kli, you'll get out most of the Bliya, and what's left, you don't have to worry about, because Heter Bala, a little Bliya that are left, you don't have to worry about. But were it to be Isser that went into the Kli, then that's not what the Gemara is talking about. Then you would say you have to kasha the whole Kli. So even though the Gemara says you don't have to kasha the Kli, the Gemara is talking only about by Hetera, or by Truma. But if it would be talking about Isser, then you don't say that. Okay? So that's the Mechaber. The Mechaber who's saying you have to kasha the whole kli, you can't just kasha the part where the food was, is like this Rajba. But it's only like the Rajba. That's the extent of the Shita, which is like the Rajba. That for Isser, we say that the Bliya spreads to the whole kli and leaves little bits behind even when you kasha, which has a tremendous nafkamina. The nafkamina is, if you only cook hetera in a pot, then if you only cooked it in part of the pot, you even the Mechaber will agree that you can kasher only that part of the pot. You don't have to kasher the whole pot. Except for a chash we'll talk about in a second. But what the din that we're talking about here, you don't have to kasher the whole pot. Because it's a very strict Gemara that you don't have to kasher the whole pot. Just we say the Gemara is only talking about Hetera. But so for in Yisura, like in Yerdea, or like even in Hilchos Pesach, where we consider Chametz to be Yisura, so we say you have to kasher the whole pot. But were you talking about real hetera, like from milk, then you would, if the bleed happened only in part of the pot, you would not have to kasha the whole pot. L'chor, it's a very shi gemara. Okay, that even according to the machmir, you don't have to kasha the whole pot. Okay, so that's just worth mentioning. Of course, I can't say this without telling you, but of course, the usual hetera that people run into in kashas, which is milk, is not hetera for everybody, because there are plenty of people who consider the chol stam to be isura. Okay, so but that's an easier issue to deal with. You can just let
there's
it be.
Something with Gollum
that
even according to the Beich Leichol Yisrael,
he says in Chanan, he says there's no Chanan.
Doesn't talk about Chol Yisrael. What?
No,
he doesn't talk about Chol Yisrael. It's before a Moshe Feisen.
No, he says Chol Akum. This Chol Akum Bisman Azeh, which is not a real chash, you could be makel. There's no Chanan. That's what he talks about. Not Chol Stam. Yeah, not Chol Stam. Chol Akum. I'm the real stuff. What? I don't remember if that's the reason why. I don't know if that was his reason why. Okay, but that's a separate question. That's Chanan. That's easier. It's easier to not say Chanan, because Chanan has to be done with the Basa B'cholos. It has to be different than even according to Ramah, right. That's what he's trying to say. But for us, it's easier to get around this problem of it being Heter and Yisur, because like we've talked about beforehand, if you wait for the Kli to just be Eid Ben Yoimoy, then for the people who treat Chol Stam as Isur, we've dealt with them. Okay, I'll just put that on the side. But it is important just to know this thing. This Rajba, the Mechaber who's coming from the Rajba, is only by cases of Yisur. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, he's arguing the Ra'ah. That's interesting. Right. Okay. Now,
isn't there another Terrence such a Q? I don't understand this whole thing.
That one.
That we say that it goes. It doesn't go in, but it'll spread when you're using it. It'll spread to the other side of the keli, but won't come back out through the part that you're using. But will come back out if you use that part directly.
Yes. So people talk about that. Yes, that's correct. That maybe chametzase has to do with getting the bleed back out to be pilot. But getting the bleed in will, and then if you stick the handle into food, then you have
the handle, right?
Yes, correct. There's more questions about that. I'm not getting to that whole thing. Okay, now, we're assuming until now that the pot and the handle are considered one kli, okay, and that's really the next halacha. We're not going to do it this week. The next halacha about what happens if they're not exactly one kli like we have nowadays. Okay, that's a whole different discussion. Okay, we'll mention it for next week or next time. Now, if it's screwed and it's welded, that's for next time. Okay,
that's
for next time.
Okay,
now, you want to ask a question?
No. How are you going to get, how do you get, the Chizah Chametz for the obviously the bleed goes through the whole different diaphragm, right? Only to the other side of the diaphragm.
Yes.
How do you get it back out?
How do you get it back out?
Yeah.
If you have a thick clean, so you're going to catch it from the way the bleed went in.
Yeah, but according to the mechaber, you have to be ma'agir that part of the clean. What's the difference if it's a hymn that's 5 feet long, right? And you tell me, well, you got to catch the other side of the handle. What's the difference if it's a, you know, so it means you have to pour water over there.
And what's the difference if the cleat is an inch thick,
right,
or it has just an appendage sticking out of it, just this handle sticking out of it? That's a good question. I'm not sure.
A thick wall, that's, I'm catching this marker. A handle is not this marker. A handle is sticking out.
That's in the handle's in the middle, right?
That is not the same marker.
When it goes up to this?
It's a separate area of the keli. You have to define what's considered, this is the marker that you used, and what's considered a different marker. And a thick wall, this is the marker of the clea. I'm catching this marker. When in here, it'll come out here.
You have a concept of an Isra Bel Boker. You have a concept where we just concentrate on one area more than another area.
Please.
You know, I understand. It's a bad muscle. But the concept is true that you find the more where the Isra was, there's more concentration of the pleas.
Right, but what's the difference if the wall happens to be an inch thick, or and just stick all the way through, or it sticks out a handle that's an inch across? It's still an inch anyhow. What's the difference if the handle sticks out an inch, or the pot is an inch thick? One looks like a handle, one looks like a pot.
If you have a pot like this, and you have a handle like this, straight out. You don't need to
That's correct.
It.
You have to have a definition. What's considered ugly marker? What's considered a marker mark? You need to catch your definition, no matter how you
write it. I think the answer is if the food in the pot gets up to here, and you catch it over here, so you catch it this as thick as this wall is.
Nice.
But you haven't captured this part, which is a
beautifully
close to that.
Okay.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay. Now, the Ramah is saying that for Chatzchila you have to kasher. Kenzain, there are those who learn that the Ramah is saying that you have to kasher because to be choshish for the sheet of the Mechaber. The Ramah says, L'chatzchila you should kasher. Okay? But most learn, and I think it's even exactly much, that he thinks you have to kasher for a completely different reason. Not the really kasher in the middle of the pot or draw the bleas out from the handle also. That's fine. But there's a completely different chash, which is when you're cooking in a pot, things are going to spritz onto the handle. People are going to touch the handle with dirty hands. While they're cooking, the hands are going to be dirty with the food they're cooking with. Or they're going to wash the pot afterwards with other dishes, so the handle will get bleas also. So it's not because, you know, the chumrah to lachatchila kasher, it's not because of the bleas that went in there through the pot. That you get out just by kashering the pot. The Ramah, who's saying lachatchila, is because of other things. And that's why the Ramah says you can kasher with iuri. Because those spritzings and those handles, all that kind of stuff is considered to be just sort of like an iuri. So kashering with iuri, we get it there also. Okay, now, the truth is, even for the Mechaber, iuri l'chari would work, because we see the spreading blee also as an iuri. According to the Mechaber, the blee is spread from the pot into the handle. That's an iuri type of a blee, and you can get it out with iuri also. But the Ramah is what he's really being cautious for.
Is that iuri?
Because the blee didn't happen in the handle. The blee happened in the pot. And from the pot, it's spread to the handle.
Well,
it's like being poured from
the pot. But the handle in the pot is not called iuri.
Okay, so that's totally that question. Should you say that if the handle got so hot,
right,
it should be considered like this? Okay.
But how does the iuri from the outside work, though?
Why?
You say that the blea goes all the way through. The blea, the iuri from the outside goes to the klipa.
Yes.
So how does it get in an inch into the wall of the cave?
According to the Mechaber. According to the Mechaber, these questions of that went in from the pot.
What about anybody? The Rambam also agrees that we go all the way to around the whole Kaili.
No, so this
they don't just go around along the surface.
And this way of learning is, oh, you mean if I'll do, this way of learning is that the Rambam's only the question is something that's spritzed.
Oh.
And then it spritz from the pot onto
the
handle.
Right.
There's two ways to learn what the Ramah is. Why is the Ramah being machmir chatzila? Either, no, the pashas is the second way. Some say, I think it's Radbaz, who says that the pshat is that he's being choshish for the Mechaber shita, in which case you would say, so what's with the iuri?
Yeah,
in which case they would learn that the iuri is because the spreading of the blee is considered iuri, and I'm going to get it also.
So
which
answer question?
Then you have a question. The handle is this thick, the iuri that I'm getting out is from the center of the handle, and the iuri is
going
to be clean.
Right, that's right.
Okay, good. Most are not. I think even the Dr. Moshe himself that the chashat here
is Ramah in your day. They say it's only b'diavad. I think the shach says it. Ramah in your day is only b'diavad because the chatzchila you have to kashim like it says here.
That's a shayla. Okay, I didn't read that. What's the chatzchila? Why do the chatzchila you have to kashim? So we can look back on the shayla. The chatzchila is because of the spritzing and the dirty hands and all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's how I understood it. And therefore, for those kind of chashas, all those things are just iuri and they're tack on the outside. You're asking is that if it's because of the spreading and the handle is this thick, I'm only going to catch the kedik
right
on the outside. Okay, so I'm not sure. Okay. Now, the Ramah, there's another thing the Magen Avraham says, which is somewhat unusual, not terribly, but somewhat, which is when the Ramah says that b'diavad, you don't have, it's okay. He means is b'diavad that you already cooked food. You already cooked food in the pot, b'diavad you could use the food. If you didn't cook food in the pot yet, then you're mechuyev to still kasher. You can't say, no, I already kashered the whole pot, I want to go back to kasher the candle. You are mechuyev to kasher the candle. Even to the extent, the Magen Avraham says, even if it's Pesach already. And once it's Pesach, you can't kasher. You can't do Hagolah on Pesach. We'll see later. You can't do Hagolah on Pesach because of bittul problems. You can't do Hagolah on Pesach. So even if it's already Pesach, and I'm stuck, I have a pot, and you want to make soup in it, I can't make soup in it. It's one thing if it's on a Tuesday and I need to kasher. It's like, okay, good. So Chatzchila means that you have to go kasher. Do it again. Kasher the handle again. The Magen Avraham says, even if it's already Pesach and you can't kasher it, or the Mishnah Berurah says it, for whatever reason, if it's Yontif, it's Sukkos, you can't kasher on Yontif. So then, you can't kasher, too bad, you still can't use, you can't do it anyhow. That's what it means, b'diavad. B'diavad means that you already cooked the food. That's not always like that. Many times you say b'diavad means, I already kashered the pot, I'm holding here, I have to cook my food, that's already a b'diavad. Okay, that's what he says. Okay, now to the second thing, what David brought up. We're assuming that the time transfers in this kli, no one's giving any amount. It transfers into the whole kli, it spreads through the whole kli, however, let's say chametzasay, through, because it's very hot, it spreads through the kli. If you look in the Taz, okay, most people don't make it this far, including myself. There's a very, very long Taz. It goes on for like three pages on this din over there. And the last line of the Taz, it's the last words in Kuf Chafal, so it's easy to find. The last words in Kuf Chafal, the Taz says, you should know, all this stuff about Bliya transferring is only assuming, in his words, it doesn't go a Merchak Rav. As long as it doesn't go very far. But a Merchak Rav, nothing to it. No prompts. No pleas if it goes Merchak Rav. Okay,
this is true. From the side and the last to line.
That's right. This is like the last line. You look the last line or two of Kuf Chafal. If it's a Merchak Rav,
I never read middle. Show the beginning.
He says you don't have to worry about it. You don't, if it's a Merchak Rav. Okay, now Rabbi Shechter holds it would pass like this has. I have nothing against that, but we'll just have to talk about it for a second. Rabbi Shechter holds that Min Hadin, before the Taz, Min Hadin, Blias would transfer half an inch. That's what he holds this year. It's based on a metallurgist who once told him something.
202 centimeters.
Rob, that's right. Yeah. Millimeters, maybe millimeters.
So
he tells half an inch is Min Hadin, and the Chumrah, 6 inches. Okay, the Merchak Rav is 6 inches. That's the Merchak Rav means 6 inches, but that's already a chumrah. Really, Min Hadin would transfer a half of an inch, and it's a chumrah to say, okay, even a certain far 6 inches. That's a shit. Now,
tell me from
now, the 6 inches number in, that I know that he, in his head is from a completely different din, which is on Shabbos. You're not allowed to put food onto the fire. You're not allowed to do chazara. You're not allowed to put food onto a fire, but if you're allowed to put it off the fire, so Rabbi Shechter says, and they do this, it, caterers do this. If you have a fire on from before Shabbos. One will want kugels. How many kugels? How warm is the kugel going to get next to the fire? So what they do is they'll put it on a shelf way up over the fire. Let's say put it on a shelf 3 feet over the fire. Let's imagine if it was really high up and it was hot there. Nobody would, it's not near a kumavashal. It's like, it doesn't look anything. It's way off the fire. So he tells them the shear is 6 inches. If the shelf is 6 inches off the fire, even though it's got to let this point over there, you know, even though it can get very hot over there, it's in such a way that the hall has no appearance of cooking, and he says you're allowed to do that. So for a normal person in the house, that has no meaning. What are you going to do? How are you going to hang it 6 inches over? It's easy just to put it on top of the chowl pot. But for caterers, they take their rack. They put their racks that they could put it on, and they just start 6 inches above, and they just stack the kugels up. Okay? That's what it's there, I could hear it. There, I could hear the
pressure. It does not look like it's on a fire.
Right, it looks, because nobody cooks like that. Nobody cooks like that. That's just his hashara 6 inches. Right, there, I could hear it.
I'm a boy.
What
did
you say?
I'm a boy.
No.
He cleared the 6 inches.
There, I hear it. Over here, the child, but over here, we're in the world that the shear comes from. That he made up this, and we have some questions on it. We're going to talk about some questions on it. He's making this assumption that the shear is, again, Min Hadin, he thinks the shear is a half an inch. And the chumrah, he's, all the dinner, I'm going to tell you in a second, all those are a chumrah, they just go 6 inches. But once it's past 6 inches, that's the Taz's Merchak Rav, and that you don't have to worry about it at all. Okay, where does it come from? Okay. Rabbi Shechter says they asked Rabbi Moshe many years ago, a shayla, about boats, that there was, you know, in boats they have products sitting in one hold. One boat could have 50 holds in it.
Okay, what does the holds mean?
A boat is going across the ocean, and it's carrying liquid products,
right.
And it's compartments. So each hold, it could have 50 holds in it, and each hold holds one a different product. One has gasoline, and one has shoe polish, and one has vegetable oil. And each different one through the ship.
Okay.
And they share walls. In most cases, they share walls one with the other. Okay, so the shaila is, does Bliya transfer from the lard into the vegetable oil through the wall that's in between them? Okay.
Is that kavash?
No, this is not.
Well, kavash is one shaila. The more serious shaila is hot.
They're hot?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the they're hot when they load it and unload. They're not usually hot the whole trip, but when they load and unload. So supposedly they asked the shaila for Moshe, and in a case where the wall was 3 feet thick. Okay, I don't even understand what that means. Okay, I don't know. Anything that I ever saw about ships, the walls like a quarter of an inch thick. Yeah, I mean, so maybe it could be really thicker and this and that, but whatever the story, this is the story. But supposedly the answer Moshe, and Moshe says, nah, Bliya can't go through that far. Such a thick wall, 3 feet thick, no Bliya's are going to go through that. That's the case. Rabbi Shach says, you see like me. Now, first of all, it didn't say 6 inches. The story was 3 feet. Okay. But the only thing is, the only question on this is that they asked from David. David finds him, if it's true, one of the Talmidim asked him whether it's true. And he said, no. He said like this. He said, I told you beforehand that we hold chamutzos, there is no chamutzos chamkuloi. You only say chamutzos chamkuloi if, you only say bleed transfers if the whole thing gets hot. If the handle doesn't get hot, there's no chamutzos chamkuloi. So all Moshe said was that 3 foot thick wall is not going to get hot. So since the 3 foot thick wall is not going to get hot until the other end, so there's no bleed transferring food to the other side. But if it really would get hot, then he says there's no makar that Blias can't go through a very thick wall. That's how Rabban said. So his father, when he said it, was because he was saying that it doesn't get hot on the other side. But were it to get hot, then there would be no basis. Now, of course, there is a basis. There is a Taz that says that. But he's saying that his father never meant what Rabbi Shachtel says that he meant. Okay, that's one. Second is, you know from the dinim of Pipas Cholov, that if the dinim that Isser drips or milk drips onto the outside of a pot, and we talk about whether the Bliya transfers into the pot. Okay, well, it fell onto the top. There it talks about that the Bliya fell above the product and it goes into the food that's low down. So you see there that it can travel within a pot. It doesn't have to be just a half of an inch. So that sounds like it doesn't say in Yishurim that if the pot is this big and it's that big, it hits the top of the pot. It slides down into the pot. Okay? So Rabbi Shach says that, yeah, okay, good. That's 6 inches. I told you this year is 6 inches. Okay, so that's the pot. It's
half an inch.
What? No. He says minhadin is a half an inch, and the chumra. Not he's making up the chumra. The chumra in shulchan aruch, like this kind of a din, is because of this chumra of 6 inches. That's if that is a merchik rav in the topic. Okay, I'm telling you cautious on. I'm not telling you because I think the most seriously because the next one is not. It's gonna be harder to take seriously. Most seriously, Chassam Sofer says, beferish that a bleah can go a few kamat tfachim. Okay, that's the word from Sefer. The Bliya goes, I feel kama tfachim. So the other people, we could argue he meant 6 inches. He didn't mean 6 inches because the Sefer says that go, I feel kama tfachim, which is more than 6 inches. I guess it depends. Again, depends what his shoes. Okay. Kama tfachim.
Yes, two tfachim.
Kama, probably at least three, right?
Because the kind of 3 inches, right? So 6 inches, perfect.
Okay.
So we have to reach up
again. The shaking. Okay. So now, but
how big?
Well, then it's
three, four.
Okay. So now I have to tell you something. And what I'm going to tell you now, we'll talk about really next week. But you have to realize that even though it's hard to understand this year, where the 6 inches is hard to hear it or know where it comes from, you have to realize that the opposite, you intuitively will assume the following. Because the Minchas Yisrael gets the shayla. He looks at the Chassam Sofer and says, so Ibezoi, what happens if you want to take water out of your sink on Pesach, and somebody else in the building, maybe someone else in the building, is using their sink for chametz? Or, so he has a whole tshuva about whether you're allowed to do that on Pesach.
It's hot pipe. You know, the pipes are hot through.
Correct. So the pipes are connected. Well, because it's a hot water system. So my hot water is connected to that water. And supposedly, I think it's Rebelsky told me, I think that's Reb Moshe, that every year at the end of the Shabbos, Hagadol Drasha would announce, everyone should make sure not to warm up the food on the radiators like people would like to do in the buildings. They live in buildings, they don't heat room the radiator because someone in the next apartment or downstairs or, of course, you know, four floors away might be heating up hummus at the same time.
Yeah, they told me that at the end of Shabbos, Hagadol Drasha used to tell you about coffee with a blowtorch.
With a blowtorch? About your ovens? Yes, yeah. Okay. So, we had a lot of things to say at the end of
the Shabbos, Hagadol
Drasha. So, maybe, I might be remembering this wrong. This part I might remember. I'm not. So, But intuitively, if I issue, do you think you should be mapping on that?
That's a chalas. The idea of putting the radio is going to be in a pot.
That's a different question. Lachar is not right, and that Steinweiss sort of like saves himself. He says, you know, when you get the food, you don't put your food on the sink, the faucet. You do it in the water that comes out of the faucet. The faucet itself, you're not touching. So he says, but yeah, it's okay, and only the bathroom should be mapped on it. But what do you say when I say this? You say to me, you can't be serious. You can't believe that players travel down from the fourth floor up all the way down to the second floor across the building. Why not? Why don't you say that? Why don't you say, come on, it's a hot pot. The whole thing is hot all the way through. It's a radiator. The reason why you don't say it is because what the pot says. Because Merchak Rav, there's some distance that you say, come on, guys.
But Melchizedek is not saying that.
What?
Melchizedek doesn't say that.
No, but I'm saying, I know that. But intuitively, you say, come on, guys, the Blia can't travel that far, which is what the Taz says. You can't believe that the Blia could really travel that far. Okay, and that the Taz, whatever he says, there's something to what the Taz says, the Blia, there's a limit to how far it can go. I don't know what the shear is. So 6 inches, we have a hard time hearing where the shear came of 6 inches. But this case, or the case that Rabbi Shechter was really talking about, which was, there was a company that was filling product over here, okay?
Enough.
From two different lines, one from that line and one from this line. The lines were 50 feet apart from each other. So at the filling area, there was a sheer piece of piping. So they all filled into the same area. So should we say that bleas go from the...
You have a steam system, right?
From a steam system. Should we say the bleas go from that pot through the hot pot all the way through the filling, all the way to the other side? Or in the same system, should be choshes. You know, if you follow the pipes back, you'll see that the pipe that's connected to this kettle, forget about the condensate coming back. The pipe that's connected to this kettle can follow all the way back to the boiler and pick it up, following along to another one, and 200 feet away, it's going to hit another kettle. No, that's going to travel all the way to the boiler and back. There's no connected pipe directly. So he says, no, guys, you can't believe that the bleed goes that far. So intuitively, you know that the Taz is right.
Well, the fact that these are not all wells. These are not connected by wells. They're all screws.
So that's the other part of the mission. The mission we'll talk about next week. We'll talk about that. There it is well.
Yeah?
Well, that's next week. That's next week's part. That's a different angle to be mocked of this whole thing. See, but you, even without that, you would say, come on, guys, the Blia can't be that long of a Blia.
The hot water in the building is screwed. Screwed on. I just screwed off each other.
Okay, so we can clear.
What?
The steam is worse.
The steam is worse. But I'm saying is that our question really is, where Rabbi Shechter came up with a shear for 6 inches. The 6 inches seems like a very small shear for this Merchak Rav. But what the Taz says, which I don't see anybody arguing that this is, but at a Merchak Rav there's no bleas, L'chaira, intuitively we understand like that. Now, I have to just point out, this whole thing we're talking about, how far the bleas transfers, is for kinds of cases like I mentioned, the steam system, long pipes, the thickness of the wall. But if we're talking about a kettle, and the kettle just looks like this, and we say, in this kettle, the product only goes up to here, okay? This shiloh has, whether you have to catch the top of the kettle is a completely different shiloh than what this question is, how far can the bleed transfer? First of all, because usually the amount to the top is less than 6 inches, okay? Usually from there to the top is 6 inches, and even if it goes Rabbi Shechter, it's even less than six inches.
Well.
But also, there's other things. There's Zayah coming up. So forget about that the blade could transfer through the kli. The Zayah coming up. So the Zayah that's sitting here traces it up, even if it'll be a different kli. If there's a spoon sticking into there, the Zayah is going to make that trace. It doesn't have to make a trace through the wall to say it's spreading for 6 inches. It'll hit it by Zayah. And usually, in a kettle, it's even worse. Because we're going to see in two halachas, I think it is, there's a thing called Hevel HaKadera, which is even stronger than Zayah. When there's a cover on a pot, there's such a buildup of steam on the inside that's considered like the whole pot is considered like a clear region. The blia is a thicker, it's a higher level than Zaya, and it makes a very strong blia. So that's also in the kettle, usually it's covered, or at least during times it's covered. So the blia that's in there is not transferring through the metal into the top. The blia is because the steam that's in there is making a tremendous blia. And of course, last but not least, is what the Rama says, the spritzing of stuff. This spritzing is very normal in that kind of a clay. Forget about until here on the outside, the spritzing that goes on there. And one of the last halachas in Hagol Kalim is, if you have a chash that thing spritz during cooking, then you have to kash. You can't just kash it through spritzing, because you're going to kash it for 3 minutes, and you cooked in there for 2 hours. So during 2 hours, the spritzing hit every spot, or hit almost every spot. During your kashering, you're going to hit 10 spots. Let's say every minute, 5 things get spritzed on. So in 3 minutes, how many spots are you going to hit? As opposed to in 10 hours of cooking, you hit every single spot. So kashering through putting just up to the product level is not going to do the trick. I'm saying for all these bunch of reasons. So Rabbi Shechter's thing is, okay, to this side of the how far does it transfer is the thick walls. so there's no the bui on the other side. There's no zayah there. There's no product spritzing over there, or pipes that are connected from there to 100 feet away. There's no shiloh there, spritzings and zayahs and things like that. It's only a shiloh that's transferred straight through the pipe that the pipe serves as a way to bring the bui over. But so it's a very limited tier that it's negeh. So, I mean, it's negeh, but it's a limited tier. The normal case when a kettle is 3/4 full has nothing to do with that. And there's regular plain old bleas that, of course, you have to kasha. And it's a situation then later on that you have to kasha the whole pot, because you don't say just the part.
I have a question.